terrestrial radio, so I guess we could be more.
You're making a motion. People are listening to us, Mark. They don't know what your motion is.
Targeting.
Targeting, yes. Okay.
I'll reel things in. It takes sometimes.
You, the listener, I'm protecting you from my maniacal co-host here.
20 or 30 minutes to actually really narrow down the show, but then those 5 minutes.
Are you hypo or hyperglycemic? You had both a situation. Didn't you experience both?
Yeah, that's a nice part about being chemically driven with the disease. Yeah.
So you had near-death experiences both ways.
Interesting. I'll talk about my near-death experience.
I want to hear about it. Listeners want to hear about it.
Because, you know, after I was going through the cloud, it almost looks like a TV screen at the other end.
Did you see a white light?
Kind of.
Did it say walk, there, don't walk? What did it say?
And it actually was a TV screen. Mm-hmm. It was Oprah. The Oprah show. Yeah, and then at that point, you kind of know, well, you know, hell. So okay, anyway, yeah. I came back during the commercial break, and things worked out well. Anyway, we'll be talking about summer and the diabetic condition. If it's going to help you, what you can do to kind of stave off the downsides of the disease.
Perfect.
As things might go. Let's do some news. Actually, some news this week. Last show was a
before
little...
Before we do that, if you'd like to contact us here at the Diabetic Show, how can we do that, Mark? Because we get people emailing us and texting us all the time.
They need to know where to complain.
That right, would be
the
now you know.
The Diabetic
Who
Show.
Who are these two jabrons on my radio? Here's where you go to complain.
Jabrons? Uh-huh. Last time you've heard Laverne and Shirley.
No, that's a wrestling term, pro wrestling.
Mm.
A jabroni is somebody that's not a good wrestler, that loses all the time. And a ham and egger, jabroni, you know. Jamoke, Stooge.
I miss weekend 70s TV. Mm-hmm. And wrestling was a big thing there. You lived it.
Oh, so. I love pro wrestling. I was a ring announcer in pro wrestling. You know, and it's so funny because you get to know the guys outside. I hope I'm not spilling the beans here. So a lot of the wrestlers are diabetic, believe it or not. They really are. I don't know if it's a muscle thing or they're big. But the bad guys in the ring, you know, the Alabama Crippler, that's the guy you leave your kids with. You know, Mr. America, that's the guy. Stay away from him. He's got a long felony record. Don't put your cat by him. The bad guys in the ring are the good guys outside of the ring. I don't know why that is. It's totally true.
Wow.
It's a little wrestling inside tip.
Something else. As I go through the tunnel next time,
mm-hmm.
it'll be there in front of my mind. News. Actually, some news this time.
I'm going to back up real quick. I'm sorry. While we're at the wrestling.
Please. We're almost there.
Remember the wrestler Kamala, the Ugandan giant?
Actually, I do.
Who's not a Ugandan giant, actually. His name is Jim Sugar Bear Harris, and he's from Mississippi. I'm very serious. A diabetic who lost parts of both of his legs.
Oh, there you go. Pardon me.
So I'm saying there's diabetic celebrities in here.
Oh, God. Was not laughing at amputation.
You said Kamala? No, Kamala was taller.
I just figured his name was like Ernie. He had just something.
No, it's Sugar Bear Harris.
Wow. Well, I'm very sorry about that.
Kamala's a nice man.
Get him on the show.
I believe we can get him on the show.
That would be good.
He has a book to plug, too.
Don't tell him about the laughing I wasn't laughing at.
You weren't the first one. What's he going to do? Diabetic news coming up. Here's Mark Philwood.
It's just off the tracks now. All right. I think we should skip the whole first
story. It's like the Gong Show. You know, you can't turn it off. How are these guys on the radio? You can't turn us off. We're part of your morning. Keep reading.
Dexcom is going through its, but even they call it, trials, but they're really not really trials. They've got this great product on the market, the CGM, continuous glucose monitoring, mm-hmm. The Dexcom product.
Right.
And they're basically running with them now with focus groups, control groups to see how things are going since the product's hit the market, which is nice that you have a company that's actually testing its device after the FDA approval.
Yeah.
Anyway, things are going just great. Thank you so much for asking. Type 1, type 2 diabetics who are on this continuous glucose monitoring device, their A1Cs are under 7, and a lot of them started over 7. And 7 is, if you're not familiar with the old A1C story, 7 is kind of the line. If you're diabetic, you want to get over that line on the downside of that line mm-hmm. and continue low. Not to 0, but about 5 or 6 or
It's like dieting, trying to get down to your birth weight.
I like that.
It's going a little bit over.
Yeah, a little bit.
Your A1C doesn't have to be 0.
No. But the point is, you want to get in that zone where you're not carrying too much sugar or not enough sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, the groups who are on this device are doing incredible, consistent A1C reductions in all the subgroups. As far as times with hypo or hyperglycemia, mm-hmm. cut drastically, 10-20% in some cases. And patients with both type 1 and 2 diabetes frequently interact with that little display that you get to carry around, whether it's on your cell phone or, because in a nutshell, it sticks in your body, it transmits things to your phone, so you know exactly what you're doing with a blood reading every, 5 minutes or so.
Well, you know it's going to be on your cable pretty soon, the glucose channel.
Funny you would say that. Please, Phil, while I drink.
Okay, Mark Fillett is drinking something without carbohydrates right now. It's, what is it, diabetic? What are you drinking?
It's good to see all those years
coffee?
Of schooling paid. I mean, you're just full of the adjectives today, the descriptions.
I'm full of something.
So anyway, the point is it's a great product. Yeah, we like to get them on the show. They don't need us anymore. They're kind of on their own. But maybe we can talk them into some free sensors for the product.
Well, to give to our listeners, of course.
Well, after we test them out. But not you can't give them used. A bad idea. But we'll work on it. Anyway, the bottom line is things are going great. If you can get one of any type of continuous glucose monitor, you're going to know what your sugars are better than not. And that's good news. Right?
Yeah. The technology is amazing. Pretty soon, George Jetson is here.
Now, I'm telling you about what you just were talking about. Mm-hmm. There are going to be apps in the world. And if you're familiar with the smartphone nowadays, they have apps. They're really programs to us old people, but they call them apps because it's cool and hip. And they're going to have apps where you can not only control your diabetes, you'll get information about your diabetes through Alexa. Are you familiar with Alexa, Dobie?
I dated her in high school.
Close.
She was a cheerleader.
This has to do with
Alexa Kowalski.
Those smart speakers.
She's a big girl.
But what a personality.
It's fourth and one. She got the ball.
So, you know, these speakers, they kind of sit there on your table. You could talk to these speakers, Dobie. Mm-hmm. And unlike most of us, it answers back in a coherent, you know, it's real.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you have them, you can go say, oh, Alexa, gosh, play music. And you give your favorite music. Alexa will do this for you.
Like
Alexa,
Siri.
A different flavor. Yes.
Siri's sister.
Let's not even tread. But yes, exactly what you're talking about. Uh-huh. Now what they're talking, as far as for the diabetic, is you're going to go to your smart scale. You're going to step on it. It's going to relay that information to Siri or Alexa or whatever your smart device. Apple has one now. HomePod. Thank you very much, Troy McDonald. Producer and his finger on the pulse of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So you got this going on with now that smart device we're talking about a few seconds ago. So now Siri and Alexa are going to know what your blood sugars are. So you could ask Siri if you don't have your monitor on you. Hey, Siri, how are the sugars running? What's my A1C? All that kind of good stuff. Even to the point where you can say, Alexa, what should I have for lunch considering where I am with my blood pressure, with my blood sugar? We're going to live forever, Dobie.
I don't know if that's good, Mark. I'm glad I'm on the back nine. You know, I'm on hole number 17, just waiting for the surly bounds of earth to surpass, and I'll take one last bite of ding-dong, and just that's it. The bed will take off, and I'll be in the next planet.
Siri, how much exercise should I get today? Well, how many sit-ups should I do? You don't want Siri or Alexa to be part of your life whatsoever.
You know, it's going to be on you. Just, you know, lose weight, measure your button axe handles.
It always comes down to those axe handles with you.
Yep, about 3 axe handles wide.
Anyway, the global market, they're looking at these apps to be over.
Now, that's what worries me. It's got so much money involved in this. The mafia is going to get involved in this. You know they are. The black underground, if there's millions, billions, zillions of dollars, someone evil is going to be a part of that.
I agree. But in what way? I mean, what do you mean?
Financing it? Okay, well, we'll get your billion-dollar corporation.
Hey, look, are you basically saying that Merck and Pfizer and Lilly and all those good folks are going to be trying to suck extra money out of my digital pocket?
I think Siri's going to be pickpocketing you. I'd watch her with your
wallet. I think we should wait until we hear back about that sponsorship that I peddled to him last month.
Gotcha. All okay. Right.
Now, the last part, this is good. We, as in us. Mm-hmm. Should soon be able to determine our blood sugar levels by looking at a tattoo on the skin.
A tattoo?
A tattoo.
Which means we have to get a tattoo.
Yeah. So that kind of opens things. I'm not really a tattoo guy. Mm-hmm. As you can tell, it's, you know, I like all that cellulite just to be proudly sticking out there with no cover except for the, you know, the hair. So what this does, your tattoo on the skin, it's actually a biosensing inking. You don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm
I see that in the eyes.
I'm learning from you.
Here's the thing. You get the tattoo, and the ink changes color corresponding to the blood sugar.
Okay, your human mood ring.
Good point. You remember those.
Yeah, I do.
I'm far too young.
I know.
Yeah, but yeah, it what it does is it interacts with your skin and gives you a result.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, so basically, if the blood sugar goes up, the glucose-sensing ink changes from brown to blue.
Mm-hmm.
And then vice versa, if the blood sugar drops.
I like it. How do you invest in this product? Don't play the stock market. This is a winner.
MIT. All those, you know.
K-E-Y.
It's always MIT.
M-O-U, I see.
Statement on the website, MIT of Technology in the U.S., about their biosensing tattoos. They say it will revolutionizing. It'll make it really exciting to be tatted in the future. They are saying they believe that in the future, on-skin electronics will no longer be black-boxed or mystified.
Mm-hmm.
Very condescending statement.
Think of all these tattooed bikers and rappers that are going to know their blood sugar right away. Go to any biker bar in the world. Look at me. 122.
One of these tattoos can even tell if a diabetic, or tell a diabetic, rather, what dose of insulin they will need to rebalance their blood sugar at any time.
It's a miracle, Mark.
Now, what kind of tattoo for you?
Would it be? It would say ban tattoos.
Ooh.
Make tattoos illegal.
I see what you
went with. Weird sense of humor.
You went deep.
That's what I would do. Yeah, I don't like the whole, you know, the typical little snake coming out of the skull's eye hole or something like that. You see 16-year-old girls with these. You're never going to get married.
God, that's like prom all over.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take the break. Then we'll come back. Then we'll be talking about summer.
Speaking of tattoos.
We have a tattoo sponsor?
No, our guest is coming on. Donna. I don't think she's tattooed. Now, we'll ask her what she
puts on. Another ice pond I will not tread.
Okay.
But anyway, we'll take the break. We'll be right back. Diabetic Show. Diabetic Show. Mark Philbutt, type 1.
Dobie Maxwell, type 2.
Show is about summer and diabetes. With us once again, literally the third leg of the stool of knowledge, really, here with the show. From United Hospital System, we have Donna. Donna, please. Sorry.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
We're just kidding. We were talking about you're in the South
Donna
room.
Swanson. She's a diabetic nurse. She very well, you know, you listen to her instead of us, for heaven's sake. So please, again, welcome to the show. And
you don't have any tattoos, do you? We're talking about that. We're just kidding.
I'm pleading the fifth.
Good. Yeah, you can if you want to.
I was 18 once.
It's fine. Hey, God bless you. You're a human being.
There we go.
So when your daughter Emily says, "Mom, I got a tattoo," then you can't be complaining.
Not happening.
Okay, good.
Boy, these cans of worms just open everywhere.
How is she doing, by the way?
By the way, Donna's daughter, also type 1.
Yes.
And we you go to diabeticshow.com, you can listen to Emily's interview. She was great.
Good story.
Not that Donna's not great, too, but it's just good to have people of all ages. You know, you think it doesn't affect children, it doesn't affect older people. We are here to be the conduit for the public, and millions of people are dealing with this disease. That's all I wanted to say.
Very good.
She was an excellent guest.
Okay, sounds good.
She's going to get a tattoo someday.
She's not.
Summer.
Keeping her away from you, Dobie.
Well, that's good anyway, diabetic or not.
Yeah, and actually, I'm sure there's legal documents that can be signed, too. Okay, summer and diabetes. For me, being a type 1 for a number of years, the first summer was the hardest. Lordy, I would lose vials of insulin because of the heat. I'm thinking, well, I'll just wrap it in aluminum foil. That'll be, you don't do that. And also, the body, physically. So, Don, I know, does it really depend, type 1 or type 2? What does heat affect a diabetic?
That is a great question, and there's many aspects to it. It has a huge, profound effect. So when we look at the insulin itself, if we're talking just insulin, insulin has preservatives in it that help maintain the integrity and the molecular structure of the insulin. So it's sensitive to extremes in temperature, so too hot, too cold. You don't want it freezing when you store it in your fridge. You don't want it in the back where it can freeze.
So you never get an insulin slushy.
Yeah, exactly. That's not a good thing. And conversely, in the summertime, if you're out and about, I can tell you from experience, my daughter was at diabetes camp one time and one year, and she had insulin cartridges, so she was using the pen, and she had maybe 30, 40 units left in that pen, and she has very low insulin needs. Our insulin requirements tend to go down in the summer because we tend to be more active, so she wasn't using very much insulin.
Ties into the exercise.
Yeah, exactly. And so she left her bag. So it was in a bag, but she left it on the beach while she was swimming. Mm-hmm. And that whole next day, her blood sugar was high. It took them a full day, even at diabetes camp. I mean, which I have nothing but the utmost respect. Literally, you have two healthcare professionals to every kid, practically. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a high patient, or I could be wrong on that, so don't quote me.
But it's a good ratio to instruction.
It's like, you've got a health professional for every child there.
And we talked a little bit about that on a previous show, but just quickly, if somebody's listening today and they might want to enter their child into a diabetes camp, how would they do that?
Yes, they go to the American Diabetes Association websites, mm-hmm. and put in their search engine diabetes camp, and they can find the local diabetes camp for their child or wherever they're living. So in this area, southeastern Wisconsin, we utilize Rochalt, Wisconsin, primarily, is where most of the kids in southeastern Wisconsin go.
My cousin lives there. It's Rochalt.
Rochalt?
I'm not being a jerk. My cousin lives there. You're the only other person that said that. There's like four
squirrels.
Well,
you know, I'm from Waukegan, and everybody says mispronounced that too.
What do they say? How do they mispronounce Waukegan?
Look, I went to the same elementary school as
I'm fine with that, but what do they say?
RN here.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just the accent.
Gotcha. Okay.
You say potato, I say potato.
I do.
Yeah, so anyway, even up there amongst all these professionals that know diabetes like the back of their hand, it took them a day to figure it out. Why is she high?
The same. It just doesn't act as it should.
Yeah, it just doesn't work anymore. So it didn't take too long. Obviously, within a day, they figured it out. Oh, she doesn't have much insulin yet left. Swimming. One of them put it together. And thankfully, they put it together pretty quickly.
And once it goes bad, it's bad.
It just doesn't work. Okay. You know, it's sort of like injecting into scar tissue. Nothing's going to absorb.
I learned that the hard way. It's so it's complicated. Another thing we really don't talk about with the injectables, move the injection sites.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes.
So keep going.
So exercise. So we talked about getting ready for winter. I think last time we did a show in the fall, we were talking about snow shoveling and, you know, being prepared, testing your blood sugar before you go out and do all this vigorous activity. Because activity, as we've discussed in the past, when we're active, our insulin needs go down. We don't require as much. We flood our cells with oxygen, makes those cells super sensitive. It works the same for everybody, type 1, type 2, whether they have diabetes or not. Our cells become more sensitive when we are highly active. So it can reduce somebody's insulin needs by 20 to 50%. So that being the case, you think about I'm going to paint a scenario. Okay, I'm getting ready to go. I wake up in the morning, Saturday morning. I just ate breakfast, took my insulin. Now, maybe it's 8 o'clock in the morning. My insulin peaks by 9. It's going to hang on till noon, right? That insulin's going to work. Mm-hmm. That rapid-acting insulin that I just took for my meal. Now, about 11 o'clock, I'm thinking, I'm going to go cut my grass. I got to get that done. I want to get it done before I go in for lunch. Now, my first dose at breakfast is still working. I go out, do all this vigorous activity, and the heat, it's 90 degrees out like it's going to be this weekend. So now we've got three factors, all that can lower my blood sugar at once. And I'm more than likely, it could take me 2 hours to cut my lawn. Now I'm waiting till 1 o'clock to get I start mowing my grass at 11 o'clock. I'm not done till 1. I should be eating lunch probably around noon, so 4 hours after I eat breakfast. I've got three factors, lowering my blood sugar all at once. So my high risk time to go low is going to be probably around that noon hour. So I guess the big thing to consider in the summer when we've got heat is that our insulin needs go down. In the winter, we tend to be more sedentary. I sort of liken it to bears. We almost hibernate in the winter. We become way less active. Mm-hmm. Then in the summer, we pick up that activity level again. So we go from high insulin needs to low. We reduce them drastically for most people.
So what do you do then? Let's assume, as most of us do not have the continuous glucose monitors, we're kind of taking shots in the dark every few hours, so be it. What do you do? Do you anticipate it?
The best thing you can do to try and prevent it is know your high-risk times. So if I eat breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning, I took my insulin, it's going to peak at 9 or by 9. It's mm-hmm. a rapid-acting insulin. You got to know how your insulin works. That's first and foremost. It's going to work for at least 3 to 4 hours. So my high-risk time is going to be between 11 and 12. If I'm active, that first dose is still working. Now, I've got two factors that could potentially drop my blood sugar. The fact that my first dose is still working, and now I'm going to be active. Now, if it's really hot outside, insulin absorbs quicker in the heat.
Really? See? Yep.
So that is a third factor. So now I've got three factors all lowering my blood sugar at once.
And actually, if you want to throw in a fourth, I use the long-acting insulin, too. That's always kind of lurking in my blood 24 hours a day.
But if that dose is working properly, yeah, it does become more. I mean, all insulin is going to be more potent because the cells are more sensitive. So whatever insulin you have on board working is going to be more effective.
What about type 2s? Metformin. They say you take your dose of metformin. Same issues?
Metformin works not exactly the same. There's way less risk of hypoglycemia with metformin. But activity, the big thing to remember is activity reduces your insulin needs. It doesn't matter where the insulin comes from, whether it's your pancreas or an insulin injection or an oral medication that makes your pancreas put out more insulin. Metformin doesn't work directly on the pancreas, so there's not quite as much risk. However, it does make the cells more sensitive, and it decreases how much sugar comes off the liver.
So then basically, if you plan things right.
Or glycogen, I should say.
I always carry a nice little chocolate fudge thing.
good in the summer, too. That's
just,
always nice.
Just in case.
So to prevent it, though, in answer to your first question, how do I prevent it? Test every 4 hours. Know your high-risk times. Mm. So if I took insulin at 8 o'clock in the morning, I know my high-risk time is 11, 12. Before I go out and cut the grass, I'm going to check my blood sugar to make sure I'm safe to – I want to make sure I have enough room for my blood sugar to drop a good 50 to 100 points. I'd say 50, depending if you have a very small yard and you know you aren't going to be that active. It's not that hot out. You know, just make sure you have a little wiggle room there. If you don't, then you may want to have a snack before.
Interesting. That's why we have you here. We're learning something.
What about your travel? Let's say we're going to go out all day. go to the river. Going to have a picnic. Okay. Now I know for the diabetics, you bring your insulin as you need it. How do you keep it cool? Is it just do you have to keep it in a pocket? Are there things I can get that aren't high tech?
Yeah. So how do you prevent what happened to Emily, right? On the beach, and you know you get all these scenarios. Well, the first thing, I would say the most common, the beach scenario, we probably should have had a little cooler pack. They do have some, you can order, like if you get the diabetes forecast, things like that, these diabetes magazines, they have lots of little cooler packs and things like that that they sell in there. Also, you could go check your local Target or Walmart or whatever store to see if they... And the drugstore may have some, too, you know, your local pharmacy. Little cooler packs for insulin, or you can use cooler packs, just anything that's thermal insulated, so to keep them cool. Like you would, I would treat your insulin like, for those people out there that like cold beer, treat it better than your beer. Keep it cold in the summer, or keep it cool. You know, you don't want it heating up.
We should check our demos with the station here, if we appeal to the beer drinker. A beer-drinking diabetic.
That's a whole other show.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, one.
We got to talk about alcohol and diabetes now.
Well, actually, it's a perfect tie-in with the season. Yeah. It is now.
Yeah, July 4th is coming up.
There's so many different things that you're hearing about alcohol, especially in this last week. They did it. Did you get the story this week as far as, actually, there were a couple. It had to do with wine. First, it was a wine. Uh-huh. They always say, well, a little wine is okay. And I think when the first story hit a number of years ago, it was two glasses at most. Because anything more than that, well, yeah.
So for men, the allowance is generally two drinks. For women, that's usually one.
Mm.
So, and that's one of the big issues that I would say the biggest issue is the liver. It also helps us to prevent us from going too low. It gives us a constant supply of glycogen that turns into glucose or sugar. So when people drink alcohol and they have diabetes, a few things happen. They tend to not test as much, may forget to eat, may forget to take their medication, and, but more importantly, the liver gets busy detoxing all that alcohol, and it doesn't put out that constant supply of glycogen that it normally would, which makes us more at risk for hypoglycemia. Now, one of the things that people can do to prevent that is test, stay on their normal schedule. Test, make sure you eat, and don't overindulge.
And another thing I'm finding about alcohol is that it really tends to have you make some really terrible decisions.
Diabetic or not, right?
Yeah, a number of things that end up on some psychologist's couch or, you got to talk about it someday, I guess. But anyway, so the gist of it is, now they're talking about maybe two could be too much. What did I read? It was 2 teaspoons of sugar per glass of wine. And white, of course, depending on the grape, but white tends to have more sugar than red. Yet now they're talking about red being slightly better for your brain. Is there any, anything about the backing of this?
Well, I'm not an expert in wine, but I know the resveratrol and there's some heart-healthy benefits to drinking a glass of wine a day. But those opinions change. It seems like we see research on them constantly.
Yeah.
It's like coffee. Before they'd say too much caffeine, and now coffee has, we don't restrict coffee unless somebody has a heart condition or a reason to restrict caffeine. It's a sugar-free drink as long as we don't add sugar. Wine, I think, moderation can often be defined in the eye of the beholder. So I like the following the ADA guidelines, 1 drink for women, 2 drinks for men. You don't want to overindulge. If you do, like you said, I think that's why a lot of our patients with diabetes tend to be healthier than their non-diabetic counterparts because they're paying attention to these things.
That's true. And do not sign any papers that people put in front of you after a couple of drinks as well. Dobie, any?
Don't drink behind the wheel would be a good thing, too.
Like it. Okay, but we do appreciate you folks listening in. And you have any questions, it's a simple matter of going to the website, thediabeticshow.com, or the, Mark at, Dobie at, you'll get there. Facebook. We forgot to talk about the Facebook, Dobie. It's huge.
Yes, Facebook is huge. We're not that huge on it, but we're getting semi-massive.
yes. The number of complaints are rising.
Be our friend, and we will tell you of upcoming events.
Yeah. We'll tell you the cure. Shh. Yeah. So, anyway, Dobie, I think we're about it. Again, Donna Swanson.
Are we done already? I thought we had a break in another.
No, Troy, that's it. You've overstayed.
Boy.
You know how it is.
We did. We appreciate you listening.
Like what? What do they say? Relatives and fish after 3 days.
Toss them out.
For us, it's 27 minutes and some change.
Okay.
So anyway, we want to thank you very much for listening. And no matter what season, check your blood sugars. Well, yep. Let's not be silly.
Let's be moderate out there.
TheDiabeticShow.com, Facebook, and, of course, Adana, very popular at United Hospital System. Very fine place.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate your time.
You make us legitimate. We appreciate you.
Troy McDonald, again, thank you so much for the buttons. As always, thanks for listening.
No sugar tonight in my coffee. No sugar tonight in my tea. No sugar to stand beside me. No sugar to run with me.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW-Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello and good morning. I'm your host, Jessica Sheeler, and this is Education Matters. As we all know, and I've been told over and over again, a key step in making yourself more employable and earning a higher income is having, at minimum, a high school education. Whether that be a high school diploma, high school equivalency, or a GED, which is a general equivalency diploma, That little piece of paper is a surefire way to earning a higher income. Today, we're meeting with Mark Mundell, manager at the Racine County Workforce Solutions, and Cindine Jennings, Dean of Developmental Education at Gateway, to discuss how Racine has taken it upon